Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I am Brenda Barker, the TIPQC Executive Director, and today joining me is Amy Painter. Amy is the Executive Director of Mother's Milk Bank Southeast. Amy initially began her service at Mother's Milk Bank Southeast as a milk donor in 2021. From there, her passion for the organization's mission grew along with her involvement. She previously served the organization as a marketing director prior to becoming the executive director in April of 2025 after the retirement of Dr. Susan Campbell. She also obtained an advanced certificate in grant writing from Indiana University and completed her certificate in nonprofit leadership from the Center of Nonprofits and Philanthropy at the Bush School at Texas A&M University. Prior to her service at the Mother's Milk Bank Southeast, she worked at the United Way of South Central Tennessee for 6 years, where she served in development and marketing roles. Amy lives in Eaglesville, Tennessee, with her husband, Grayson, their two daughters, Emma and Sutton, and we're so honored that you would join us today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Brenda.
So glad you're here. And we're excited as well to celebrate National Breastfeeding Month. And so what a great opportunity to have you come and share more. Just to jump in, tell us a little bit about you, Amy, and then tell us a little bit about the Mother's Milk Bank Southeast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again. So Mother's Milk Bank Southeast, formerly Mother's Milk Bank of Tennessee, we're a 501c3 nonprofit milk bank. We are accredited by the Human Milk Banking Association of North America. For almost 5 years, we have served families through hospitals and also our outpatient programs. What began as a statewide effort has grown into something so much larger. Today, we partner with hospitals across multiple states, and we're also serving outpatient families throughout the region. As our impact has grown, we realized our name also needed to grow with us. So that is why we have updated our name to Mother's Milk Bank of Southeast. Even though our work is still very much rooted here in Tennessee, as you mentioned in my bio, my involvement with the organization began as a milk donor. After the birth of my second daughter, I decided to leave the workforce. And during that time, I come to find that I had an abundance of milk. And it was through my OBGYN, Dr. Valerie Parker, that she first introduced me to Mother's Milk Bank of Tennessee at the time. I didn't have very much of an idea of what even a milk bank was at the time. I had heard of donor milk, but I had very little knowledge. And so she gave me at that time what they had for a brochure, and you could tell it was very much a startup organization. They had not even opened up the pasteurization facility here in Murfreesboro at that time, but they were screening donors. And so I was one of the first donors screened and approved that my milk was processed and pasteurized here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, before it was dispensed in NICUs across the state. And so it was during that time that I had that introduction to the organization. And then in January the following year, there was a newsletter article out about needing volunteers, specifically in marketing and development. And I thought, what a better time and opportunity for me, as I had left the workforce but still wanted to keep my resume up to date. And, you know, was thinking about future goals for my family and just saw also the ability to be able to give back
Well, that is wonderful history about you and the milk bank. It seems like you've grown up together, I would say. Tell us, though, what is the need for a milk bank and for human milk?
The need is much greater than people often realize, just like myself when I was first introduced to the milk bank. For premature and medically vulnerable infants, donor milk is more than just nutrition, it's medicine. Pasteurized donor human milk has been shown to reduce the risk of serious complications in preterm infants. It also supports healthier outcomes during critical stages of development. What I didn't realize, and what a lot of people don't realize, is that a lot of times when a baby is born preterm, mom's own milk is either unavailable or limited due to delayed lactation. There are some estimates up to 60% of moms that have babies in the NICU do not have enough milk to provide to their baby. And so that's where donor milk plays such a key part in providing a bridge and a safe bridge as a viable source of nutrition. Every year, babies are born prematurely in the U.S. In fact, in Tennessee, 1 in 9 babies are born preterm. And so when a mom's own milk hasn't come in yet because maybe she's recovering from a difficult delivery or there's medical reasons breastfeeding has to be delayed, for these babies, the next best option is donor milk when they can't have their own mom's own milk. And so we are so proud that we are able to provide such meaningful medicine through human milk donation to these families.
So what is the process for receiving milk? And can you tell us how a mom could donate extra breast milk if she wanted to, and screening requirements? Listen on all the details.
Absolutely. So donor milk has become the standard of care when mom's own milk is not available. 92% of all level 3 and 4 NICUs in the United States now offer donor milk when mom's own milk is unavailable. In addition, we also have an outpatient program. So families after discharge that find themselves in need of milk can go onto our website, which is mymilkbank.org, and request milk. We always prioritize babies in the NICU needing donor milk before we fulfill our outpatient request. However, due to the generosity of our amazing milk donors, we have been able to make sure that we're able to fulfill those requests for outpatient and inpatient. So if a mom is getting ready to tour her birthing facility, I would encourage her to ask if donor milk is available there at that facility, if it's something of interest to her and of importance to her, especially if she knows maybe that she's going to have a planned C-section and she's more at risk for having delayed lactation. And then for families that have babies with complex medical needs, I would definitely encourage them to go to our website and fill out a request form requesting donor milk for these infants. In addition, if families just need short-term supplementation, they can also request milk. And then through our partnerships with various hospitals across the state and region, we have our Donor Milk to Go program. And that is where families can obtain up to 10 bottles of pasteurized donor human milk at the time of discharge. And so the families are able to, just before they leave, if they know that mom has delayed lactation or maybe it's not safe for baby to receive her milk, maybe due to a certain medication, even though that's rare, it does happen. And so the family can obtain up to 10 bottles at that time. It's also been very important to us that we make sure that financial situations do not hinder a family from requesting milk. We want to make sure that it's never a barrier to access. And so it takes a lot of money and resources to produce a highly regulated, safe product like we do. And so we do have to charge a processing fee for our donor milk, but through the generosity of so many people, including the Hardy family, we are able to provide milk on a sliding scale based on household income. And so that way, we never want, as I said, for families to not be able to access milk because of financial situations. And so we're so grateful. This year so far in 2026, we have helped almost 80 babies receive pasteurized donor human milk at no charge because of the family's financial situation. And we've been able to do that through the generosity of our financial donors. In addition, if we did not have milk donors, we definitely could not be able to provide these programs and provide this life-saving nutrition.
Let me just jump in and ask you then, how do moms find you that want to donate milk?
Yes. So most of our moms find us through a simple Google search. In fact, 55% of our moms find us through a Google search of where can I donate milk near me, because more and more people are becoming aware of donor milk and the impact that milk donors have, but they haven't quite connected us to the picture, so they're able to find us. Also, we rely on our healthcare partners to help us share the word as well. And so we're so grateful for every healthcare provider that's willing to share a brochure or just let a mom know that we are out there and available.
Tell us a little bit more. Once a mom has found you, is there a screening process? And then actually, what happens with the milk? I'm sure there's screening and a process for that as well.
Yes, absolutely. So moms will start the process on our website, mymilkbank.org, and they complete a pre-screening application. It's a brief application that just makes sure that a mom meets the basic qualifications to become a milk donor. Some of those basic qualifications include making sure that the mom has over 100 ounces that she's willing to donate, that none of the milk is older than 8 months old, that all the milk has been pumped and collected prior to her baby's second birthday. We also ask the mom to make sure that she is following safe pumping and storage guidelines to ensure the safety of our milk. And so once a mom completes that, then she is prompted to schedule her donor screening call with one of our donor screeners. And one of the great things about our milk bank is that we have donor screeners that work 7 days a week at all hours. And many of our donor screeners were like me, and they were former donors. And as our programs have grown, they have joined our team. And so we have moms that are screening other moms in the evenings or on the weekends, when maybe a spouse is available for childcare, but we have really been able to see our numbers grow. I've told this story several times, but when I was a milk donor and I was going through the screening process, at that time we did not have the booking calendar where a mom could screen when she was ready. So, and at that time too, we were ran solely by volunteers. So the volunteer called me for my pre-screening call, and it was 5 o'clock. I had a 5-month-old at the time. I had a 3-year-old also at the time. I'm trying to cook dinner, and she calls and says, "Is this a good time for your screening call?" And I was, "No, absolutely not. Please call me tomorrow." And so I brought that perspective in as I joined the team with the milk bank to make sure that we're meeting moms where they're at when it's convenient to them, and making sure that is an easy process for them. So after they complete that screening call with one of our donor screeners, then we obtain consent from their OB that also verifies their health records that they have given us. We also require lab draws, and those costs of the blood draws are covered by our organization. So we never want to make being a donor a financial burden for anyone. So we cover all of the costs of the lab work needed. And then once a mother's approved, then she can drop off her milk at one of our milk drop depots located across the state.
Thank you for that really detailed information on finding and ensuring your milk donors. Tell us a little bit about once the milk is received, what is the process on that?
Yes. So our courier picks up from all of our milk drop depots, which are strategic community partners And the milk comes back to our facility here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. As the milk comes through the door, it is verified that it's in great condition, that it has remained frozen. Also, that all the milk is traceable back to the donor. We also then log the milk by the date. So we'll sort the milk by the donation dates on the individual bags. And we use this information to verify that a mom doesn't have any milk during a deferral period, maybe when she was on a medication during a time period where we cannot accept that milk. So once that is verified, it's all logged into our timeless system. And then the next step is the milk is thawed for processing, and we use refrigerators for thawing methods. The milk is then strained and filtered to make sure that there's no foreign matter or debris in the milk. And then the milk is bottled and pasteurized here on site. We also do target pooling for calories to make sure that we are providing the level of nutrition that our NICUs are requesting, whether that be a higher calorie milk like 24 calorie, or maybe it is what we call term milk, which is a lower calorie around 16 for term babies. So once the milk is pasteurized, then we also do bacteriological screening through a third party certified lab. Those lab results, once we receive them, are then verified by two of our staff members who are PCIQ certified. And then we, once those are verified and we know that the milk is safe, then it is dispensed to our hospitals and NICUs across the state and region.
Well, you've mentioned several times the milk depots. How could a donor find a milk depot?
Yes, all of our milk drop depots are listed on our website. We are so excited. We have 26 now in the state of Tennessee, and they range all the way from Memphis to Bristol, Tennessee. So we are so excited about the growth of our depots. We still have the need in certain regions. So I would encourage anyone listening today, if you are with a healthcare facility, check out our map and see where there might be areas of need. So we really want it to always be convenient for a mom to be able to donate. And without our milk drop depots, we would not be able to collect the amount of milk that we have been able to collect over the past 5 years.
Wouldn't have in the show notes your website, but would you go ahead and tell everybody listening today your website so they could locate you all?
Absolutely. Our website is mymilkbank.org.
Thank you. And I know that we're going to have folks that really want to go and learn more, but I was curious, you also had a Rosie Fund. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes. So for my country music listeners out there, the Rosie Fund was made possible thanks to the Hardy family. There is a country music singer-songwriter, Hardy, and his wife provided significant funds to our outpatient program to allow us to provide milk for free or for on sliding scale for babies in need. So their daughter, Rosie, received donor milk through our outpatient program. And so it was during the process as they were obtaining milk that first time, and they were paying the processing fee, they inquired about what happens when families can't afford the milk. And we shared with them at that time that we tried to fundraise as much as possible and give as much as possible. But sometimes there were situations in the past where we had to turn families away because we did not have the resources available. So thanks to them, they gifted us with a $45,000 donation that has allowed us to serve over 70 families already this year. And some of those families, we have been able to provide several months of support due to the babies having complex, serious medical needs. So we are so grateful for their support, not only for their financial donations, but they've also been very instrumental in spreading the word about our organization, which is so critical and very much needed.
Wonderful. Well, it has been such a wonderful journey watching the milk bank get established. I went to your open house when you cut the ribbon. I guess that was probably in 2020 or 21. And it's wonderful to see how the milk bank has grown and now expanded the name to include Southeast. Is your reach also expanding, Amy?
It absolutely is. Not only are more and more donors donating to us beyond Tennessee borders, but we are also serving hospitals in Kentucky and Mississippi. We also have a dispensary site in Kentucky, and we have a depot in Kentucky. We also have a depot in Georgia as well. For some of our listeners that may not be aware, we are a part of Humana, which is our accrediting body, and there are only 32 Humana accredited milk banks in North America. And two of those are in Canada. So there are several states, including our region, that aren't served currently by a milk bank, which was so critical for our expansion and reach once we were able to see the need of, and that we were able to fill the need because of our donors. That really allowed us to grow tremendously. So we have shipped milk from all over the country. We've also been in a position, thanks to the, again, the generosity of our milk donors, that there have been several other milk banks that have not been able to fulfill their hospital orders. And so our Tennessee moms have consented that they are willing for their milk to be shared outside of Tennessee once we know all of the Tennessee needs are met. And so within the last year, we have provided milk to milk banks all across the country that were struggling because they didn't have the support that we have seen with our Tennessee moms and our surrounding region. So we're so grateful for them for not only fulfilling the needs of the hospitals that we serve, but also the hospitals that our sister milk banks serve as well. And we've also, in addition to expanding, you know, not just by beyond Tennessee, but we've also expanded access to donor human milk through well baby nurseries. We have more and more hospitals now seeing how critical it is for moms being able to supplement with donor milk during those first few days of life, especially for moms that have had maybe traumatic deliveries or various circumstances where a baby will benefit from receiving donor milk. Having donor human milk in well baby nurseries promotes breastfeeding. It has been shown to improve breastfeeding rates. Moms are able to breastfeed longer because they're able to establish their supply, get the support and help that they need without being reliant on formula. And so we've heard success story after success story of moms that had delayed lactation for various reasons, but were able to receive donor milk for their baby in the hospital, and then sometimes even through our donor milk to go sites, and how that has attributed to their success and their ability to breastfeed their baby and to meet their breastfeeding goals.
Tell us about those breastfeeding to go sites and how you could find those.
Yes, our donor milk to go sites are located on our website under the Need Milk tab. We are so grateful for these hospitals and clinics that have this available. Not only does it save the family shipping fees, but it's so easy and convenient to provide that continuation of care for these families. I know that it's something that is so meaningful to the families that they're not burdened by, oh, I've got to figure out a great formula for my baby to supplement for, figure out something that works. But they're able to know that their baby is getting the next best thing from mom's own milk. And so we currently have 6 donor milk to go sites in Tennessee and Kentucky, and we hope to grow those as our growth continues.
This has been a fabulous conversation, Amy. We so appreciate the work that you do and the work of the Milk Bank Southeast. And just want to thank you for joining today, for sharing your expertise. And just want to ask you before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
Yes. I would be remiss if I did not share my appreciation to TIPQC. You have been a longtime supporter of our work and have allowed us a platform through your annual meeting to promote our work and our mission, even in the days of the very beginning of the seed planting and before we ever had a pasteurization facility here in Murfreesboro. And so we're so grateful. We've made so many meaningful connections at that conference every year and continue to do so. Even one of our new depots that will be opening later this year is someone that I met in March at TIPQC's annual meeting. So we're so grateful for your support. And just as TIPQC has provided us that platform, I would encourage anyone that has a platform, whether that be their own social media or if they're a healthcare provider in their practice, to just simply help share the word. Everyone's familiar with blood banking and understands its impact, but very few people understand what milk banking is about and our impact. And we want to change that, but we can't do it alone. We need others to come alongside us and help us share. So I would encourage you, just as TIPQC has lifted us up, I would love for the listeners of this podcast to lift us up as well and help promote our mission and our work.
It's been an honor. And thank you again, Amy, for joining us today. Happy breastfeeding month, everybody.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.